We're going to go ahead and continue on with today's Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series post-race media availability for the 48th annual AAA 400 Drive for Autism. We're now joined by the winning car owner, NASCAR Hall of Famer, Mr. Rick Hendrick, who is the owner of the number 48 Lowe's Chevrolet for Hendrick Motorsports. Rick, you can't be surprised about the success this team had today, but what is it about this combination with Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus that finds a way week in and week out to overcome adversity and find their way into victory lane?
You know, Jimmy is just, this is probably, I would say, his best track, and they have figured out a way to be competitive every week, and this was probably one of the most competitive races I've seen, and, you know, we've lost a lot of them on restarts and able to pull one off today. Jimmy just is, I think, because of the banking and the way the car lands and you have to run the car loose, and then Chad, and they've worked together here so many times. You know, if you can just be in the top five, you know, didn't like to have to start in the rear, but he's got a pretty good record of coming from the back, so it was a great day.
Okay, we'll open up the floor for questions. If you have a question for Mr. Hendrick, please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless mic to you. Any questions for Mr. Hendrick? We'll go ahead and start with Pat and then go to Bob.
Okay. Pat Tocola, NASCAR.com. Rick, so many people have pointed to Jimmy's luck, but he's obviously very skilled. I mean, where is that balance in your mind?
You know, if you look at his record of the championships and the wins and the different tracks and the competition that's out there today, I don't know how you could be lucky 83 times in seven championships. I think you know, you have to have some racing luck. Every now and then you get one that maybe someone else fumbled the ball or luck went your way. But, you know, if you look at his record and the what he's done and the championships and the races he's won, you know, you'd have to say he's one of the greatest that's ever raced in the sport.
Go next to Bob.
Bob Hocker, ESPN. I have two. The first is, does Jimmy do anything that reminds you of Cale Yarborough?
You know, I watched Cale, and he was one of the toughest, hardest racers that I ever watched race, and fearless, and drove the car over the edge. And Jimmy does the same thing, but Jimmy makes it look smooth. I think they're, you know, I guess I like Parcells' quote, you are what your record says you are. And, you know, I think they're a little bit, the way I remember Cale, they're a little bit different in their approach, but their record is the same.
And he had the Cale tribute helmet. Was there any part of you that said, don't break that out until you actually tie him?
I'm sorry now. Oh.
Yeah,
no.
You weren't superstitious about having that helmet before he tied Cale.
I was more concerned about whether I could get the helmet.
We are now joined by today's winning crew chief, Chad Knaus, who had some adversity from the get-go this morning, starting from the rear with a gear change. Could you walk us through that process, and what was your mindset as far as game planning then for the race?
Yeah, it's obviously unfortunate, and Mr. Hendrick and I were talking last night about why we had to change the gear and what happened, and quite honestly, over the course of my career, I think we've only had maybe four or five gear failures, and if you really start to look at that and the races that we've had at Hendrick Motorsports and what we've done, that's a pretty small percentage, so we'll take that one on the chin if we need to. But to start last, it's kind of ironic. Jimmy and I and my engineers were talking about starting at the rear of the field and how stage racing has quite honestly helped the guys that have that deficit. And we played that. We felt like the strategy was going to work out for us, and fortunately enough, we had a really fast Lowe's Chevrolet. And we're able to capitalize and get up into the top 20. We had a caution fairly early. We came in, got some tires, were able to migrate up towards the front. And with the speed the car had in it, and obviously Jimmy's fantastic here at this track, we were able to run in the top five the majority of the day, battle for the lead, first, second, third, and stay in position. So it was, it's not exactly how we wanted the day to play out. We wanted to go up there and just take it and run away with it, but being in position and allowing Jimmy to have the opportunity to get after it on that last restart, you know, honestly, that's what it's all about.
Okay, we'll continue on with questions here in the deadline room. Please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless mic to you. We'll start here and then go to Jeff.
Tyler Head, the racing experts. Obviously, you guys have enjoyed a lot of success all around the circuit, but none more so really than here. When you come here each year, each season, do you have more confidence? Is it more comfortable coming to this track knowing that you have had so much success?
Yeah, I think you're always more comfortable going somewhere where you've been successful and you've got a good history. You know, there's venues that you go to, and if any of you guys have ever played sports or any type of competition, you know that there's a time when you walk in the door and you feel like that you've got it or you've got an opportunity. And I can tell you when the 48 team and Jimmy Johnson, they roll into this racetrack, everybody's on their tippy toes and their chests are puffed out. And that comes from Jimmy's experience, Jimmy's ability to adapt. This racetrack changes an awful lot. I think if you guys pay attention, you see that the track starts fairly white to a gray, and then it ends up black midway through a run. And then as the caution comes out, it turns white again. So the drivers really have to be willing and able to maneuver around the racetrack, find the best way to go. So, yeah, man, coming into Dover is someplace that we always just put a little circle around it. We like it.
Go next to Jeff, then to Tom.
Jeff Gluck from jeffgluck.com for Chad. So there was one point where you ended up benefiting from a caution during a run, and it timed well. When that kind of situation happens, are you staying out hoping that there could be a caution like that? Are you just trying to get into your fuel window? What's the thinking there? Is it strategic at all?
Yeah, there is definitely some strategy, for sure.
Tom?
Hey, Chad. Tom Jensen, FoxSports.com.
Yeah.
Two questions for you. This is, if I'm not mistaken, this is the third time, counting Homestead, that you guys have won from coming all the way from the back of the field at the start. Is that correct?
Okay. You do the stats, man. I just crew chief. I don't know.
Okay. Is there something special when you do that? Does it add to the victory at all?
No, I that's not what you want to do by any stretch. You know, we'd much rather start in the top five or on the pole and, you know, have the races go seamless. But is it fun to start last and win the race? Heck yeah, it is. You know, it's pretty cool. But that's not the way that we want to have it happen by any stretch. And, you know, to have a parts failure and that regulate us to the back, it happens and it'll happen again. Probably more than once, and it's a part of motorsports, it's a part of racing, it's a part of competition. But that's the motivation from that is not, you know, we don't say, hey, we started last, let's go try to win the race. Well, actually we do, but that's not like we don't intentionally start last and say, hey, let's start last and then try to go win the race. That's not what we want to have happen.
And the second question is, does the stage system and the new points system give you guys more of an incentive to win during the regular season and less maybe to experiment?
We definitely – I understand the stages, and I understand how it all works. We come to the racetrack to try to win everything that we possibly can. We want to win practice. We want to sit on the pole for qualifying. We want to win every stage, and we want to win the race. So if there's a checkered flag to be had, the 48 is going to the racetrack to try to capture it. So we're going to do that. And as far as experimenting throughout the normal season, before the playoffs, I think it's difficult for people to understand that we experiment every single time we go to the racetrack. We're always trying to evolve and get our cars better and faster so we can put our drivers in a position where they need to be. And I think at Hendrick Motorsports right now, honestly, we're doing a pretty good job. If you look at the way that all the teams are running, it's pretty awesome.
We are also now joined by today's winning driver, Jimmy Johnson of the number 48 Lowe's Chevrolet. You know, Jimmy won his 83rd Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race, tying him with NASCAR Hall of Famer Cale Yarborough for sixth on the all-time list. He also won his record 11th race here at Dover, becoming only the third driver to win a race, 11 or more races at a single track. Those other two drivers are none other than Richard Petty and Dale Waltrip. Jimmy, you've proven yourself to be a legend already in many respects, but how in the world did you get that low Chevrolet up front when it mattered most on that final restart?
Yeah, we had a fast car, had overcome quite a bit of adversity throughout the day, but we still had a great car. And honestly, it all came down to a restart, and I was able to get the power to the ground. I knew it was going to be extremely tricky on those old, hot, worn-out tires, and I just got a better restart is the way it turned out.
Okay, we'll continue on with questions here. We'll go to Jerry, and then we'll move back.
Jerry Jordan, KickingTheTires.net and PRN. Jimmy, some of us were talking about this before the race. If you won, we were going to like come up with a challenge, maybe 20 miles away on a bicycle, parachute in next year. is there anything you can't overcome here?
This is a good one for us, and I've always been better at passing people. I think our stats from qualifying versus race wins really show that, and it's frustrating. We live in an environment where qualifying needs to be a priority, and we need better pit stall picks. But you put that rabbit out in front of me, and I'll chase it down. So just the way I've always been.
Tyler Head with the Racing Experts. Jimmy, can you just speak to the contrast of last week running out of gas in the closing laps and, the feeling of defeat there versus here having an opportunity to seize a win and being able to do so?
Yeah, I think at the root of our opportunities to win have been Chad's aggressive calls. And the fact that we've won a couple races gives him the freedom to really swing hard and take chances. And we stayed out on the track when others hit pit road in the later stages of this race, and that really turned out well for us. He made the audible at the 600 when everybody hit pit road that, hey, let's try. And it's nice to be in this position to have a couple wins, to know that we're in that top 16 and to take more chances to win, because everything's about that trophy. And to be in contention week in and week out like we have been makes me very proud. And then to see his aggressive calls makes it a lot of fun.
Before we continue on, any additional questions for Mr. Hendrick or Chad? Gentlemen, thank you. Congratulations. Good luck next week in Pocono. We'll continue on here with questions for Jimmy, and we'll go to the back.
Kyle Magda, Performance Motorsports Network. Jimmy, can you just talk a little bit about your restarts? It seems like your last couple wins, you've been better with them. Have you worked on anything in the past couple years to do that?
Not really. I had one cost me $1 million a couple Saturdays ago. You win some, you lose some. It is so hard, and when you have that much horsepower under your right foot, it's so tough to give just the right amount of power. And I knew today's conditions were going to be extra tricky on hot tires, and then we're picking up all of the rubber that we had laid down on the track, and I got this one right. So you win some, you lose some.
We'll go next to Bob, and then we'll go to Kelly.
Bob Pockris, ESPN. Can you talk about the meaning of tying Cale's win mark? And also, were you being presumptuous at all with the helmet, breaking it out before you had tied it?
No, it was time for a new helmet. We're trying to increase our inventory of our helmets, and we had one coming in this weekend, and my helmet painter and I discussed doing a tribute helmet. It just felt really good last year to honor Dale and Richard with the helmet that I wore at Homestead and was able to tie those guys with 7 championships. And just kind of opened my mind to the opportunity I have to help some younger fans and to honor Cale Yarborough, to help younger fans know the name, know the face. So it's something that's been in the works. The helmet's been underway for a few weeks being painted, and then it just arrived here this weekend. I really, really anticipated wearing it more than one race. I'm not prepared for what my next plan is necessarily, so I might wear this helmet for a few more weeks. But it's just a great opportunity. A great opportunity for me to honor Cale, and drivers have always used their helmets as their voice in a way to honor someone or send a message, their own personality. There's always been a lot of freedom with the driver's helmet, and I think it's just really been a neat opportunity for me to honor Dale and Richard and now Cale. Yeah, the meaning of, man, to remember that old dirty couch I was sitting on in El Cajon, California with my parents. We didn't want to turn the AC on because it cost too much. Sweating in 100 and whatever degree heat out in El Cajon, watching NASCAR races on TV and sitting on the couch and pulling for that 28. You know, to tie him is just mind-blowing. I was very fortunate to have a similar experience when I tied him with the three consecutive championships, and he surprised me at the banquet. But to tie him at 83 wins, I swear to you, I only dreamed of winning a race. And to have 83 and to tie him is just absolutely mind-blowing.
Go next to Kelly.
Kelly Crandall, racer.com. Jimmy, the 42 team over the radio, speaking of restarts on that last one, kind of protested that maybe you were laying back. Kyle Larson later said, you know, he spun the tires. But did you do anything different on that last restart to get a better launch than he did?
I did everything I could to beat him. Lay back, went forward. I laid back early, went forward late. He jumped for, you know, he's the leader. He's supposed to jump first. I just made sure I didn't jump before him. But when it mattered, I was actually ahead of him by a couple inches. So they can protest all they want. I got the trophy. I did everything I could to beat him and did it.
Additional questions down here. Let's go to Brandt.
Brandt James, USA Today Sports. Excuse me. Is there any extra satisfaction in this one, winning this race at a place where you've had, you know, most of your allotted success and against a young guy who's supposed to win a bunch of races and a bunch of titles whenever you decide you're going to go off to the mountains and, like, ski all the time?
I haven't thought about that aspect. I mean, you know, the takeaway I have from today is that, you know, these races are never over. You know, when I was watching Kyle pull away from me with five to go, you know, I'm like, all right, seconds not bad. And then something in my mind said, this thing isn't over. You know, they're never over until the checkered falls. So about that time we go into turn one, I see the 38, I think it was, blow right front and hammer the fence. And it's like, okay, here we go. Here's our chance. So I guess that's my big takeaway. And yes, Kyle's going to win lots of races and be a household name and the face of our sport in the near future. If he's not, you know, on his way to doing that now, but he's a tough competitor, and I was just able to inch out over him on that restart.
Go next to Dan.
Dan Gelson, the Associated Press. What really was it about Kale that attracted him to you at such a young age?
That's a great question. He reminded me of my grandfather a little bit in his personality, and so that was a takeaway or a reason that I've watched him and was into him. He won a lot when I was watching him race at that point in time, and then that 28 car just looked good. There was just something about it. The looks of the car, it looked mean. It was fast. He had that big crash, I think, at Talladega where almost went over the fence, and the windshield blew out of it. For a young kid, there was just a lot about his personality, his driving style, his winning. I think my grandfather, there's something about his personality that carried over, and that between all those is why I was drawn to him.
Any additional questions for Jimmy Johnson? Well, Jimmy, congratulations. Oh, do we have Bob?
Were you confident you could, Bob Pockers, ESPN, were you confident you could have hold of Larson if it went green the full two overtime laps?
Once I heard clear, I took a deep breath and knew I was going to have my hands full. I hadn't been in clean air yet to know what my car would do, and I knew how hard it was to pass the 42 or the 78. So I was optimistic but knew I needed to be on my game for those final two laps. So there was some concern.
Well, Jimmy, congratulations and good luck next week in Pocono.
Thanks.